Welcome back. It is the afternoon show. Jack Fritz and Ike Reese hanging out at Chickies and Pete's. Baseball is better at Chickies and Pete's. Pre-game, in-game, or a post-game feast. Find a location near you online. ChickiesandPete's.com. Of course, you know, Chickies in the ballpark. Ballpark should be a pretty good crowd tonight. Sixers in action against the Magic. A big game down at the Wells Fargo Center. A lot to get to with Elliott Shore Parks. As always, Elliott Shore Parks calls are brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com. Robin Ford, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. What's happening, Elliot?
What up? How you guys doing?
ESP. What's happening, brother?
Excited for this game tonight.
It's
like a playoff game down there.
A playoff atmosphere down here at Chickies today, too. Playoff atmosphere down here at Chickies.
The return of Markelle Fultz.
Standing
ready
for that.
I've been waiting.
So, Elliot, we'll get to some Eagles thoughts here in a second. But first off, what's your reaction to the Allen Iverson statue?
Man, so Iverson, as you know, my favorite Philly athlete. So I was very excited for this moment, and I do think it is a good statue. I was team, you know, hand to ear. I would have gone with that, but now that I the crossover, I think it makes sense. He's known for the crossover, you know, in the history of the league. He's viewed as one of the people having the better crossovers. So I think there is logic in doing it. I just hate that everyone's clowning it. Like, his moment shouldn't have been like this. The statue is always going to be small. All the statues outside of the facility aren't small. So it feels like this was poorly handled in terms of telling people what to expect. And as a result, it sucks that his big moment is, you know, basically being mocked online for the statue.
They're not mocking him. They're more or less pissed off at the Sixers.
Right, but the statue was always going to be small, is my point.
It looks like you could pick it up, Elliot. I mean, what are we talking about?
Because it's not outside of the arena. The statues we're comparing it to are outside of arena. Fans don't walk by this statue. The statues are small. His is admittedly a little smaller because the other statues people are dunking and shooting. And he's crossing the ball over, so, you know, he's bent over. But, if it was that size outside of the Wells Fargo, then I would agree with you. But it was always going to be a smaller statue. It was not going to be the statue we think of that we walked by outside.
But the other statues are outside the practice facility, like the Barkley statue.
Yeah, they're all small. They're all small.
Not as small as that.
They are.
I think a big point that you're making, or a difference that you're making, is that AI is in a basketball crossover, hunched over sort of posture, where the other guys are either shooting a jump shot, they're grabbing a rebound, they're doing something where they're, I don't want to say erected, pause, but they are standing straight up, though. You know, like, you know what I'm saying?
Like there's a picture of Charles Barkley next to his statue, which is, I believe, next to Iverson's or right close to it. And in his statue, he is jumping and dunking the ball, so his arm is fully extended. Arms are fully extended,
which makes the statue taller.
Yep, exactly. So. Good breakdown. Good. I didn't know you were such a statue.
Well, because we can see Charles, and he's 6'4". Charles is 6'4", and we see him standing next to a statue. His statue is at least 2 feet taller or a foot taller than he is.
Right.
So, what would you say the total height is on this statue?
I mean, if Iverson's 6 foot, maybe, I don't know, 6 foot. 6.5 feet. It's not much bigger than Iverson. It looks like it might even be smaller than him based off the pictures I've seen. But this is what I'm saying. It's disappointing that a day that should be all about how awesome the statue is, it's getting a negative reaction. I guess that'd be my overall take. It's just,
well, how is somebody supposed to look at this and say how awesome it is?
Because it was always going to be this size. That's my point.
Well, we didn't know that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I wish that.
Oh, well, they went from statue to sculpture very quick, too,
talking about it. Right. That, exactly. That's the point I'm making. So,
yes,
and I will say, like, I would have preferred the ear, you know, the hand to the ear. I think the crossover, the step over would have been cool. I understand the crossover, but it's not really an iconic moment for him. It's not, you know, it's not for a player that has so many of them. They could have done a few different things that people would have looked at instantly and gone, oh, yeah, I remember that one.
What do you think about the Sixers team adding them to the postseason? We've been talking a lot at the beginning of the show here of giving this team a clean slate. It's a new version of the team. We don't need to talk about the past transgressions of of Doc Rivers and James Harden and Ben Simmons. What do you think about giving this team a nice clean slate heading into this postseason run?
Yeah, so none of those guys are there. So I think that in that way, it would be a more enjoyable experience. But the main guy is there. And the past playoff failures, the issues of getting out of the second round, he's still on the roster. Like, Joel Embiid is the problem. He is the one people think of when they get mad about they've never been out of the second round. So while I agree that, you know, saying this team has failed in the playoffs a bunch is not fair because it is like almost a really different group, I understand fans are going into the postseason saying, well, it's just going to be the same thing because it's the same player. Much like if a quarterback struggled a bunch of years in a row, we would say, well, as long as they have that quarterback, they're never going to win anything. We say that with Dak, right? So I think that with Joel going into the postseason, he's carrying all this baggage with him. And as the best player, it's hard for the rest of the roster to avoid it.
I look at this team and I say, okay, I know who my main two stars is. Who do you think is more likely going to emerge as the third guy? Is that a feel for every game? Is a different guy every game? Like, who do you think is more likely to be that third guy?
So I think if at the end of the postseason, whenever that ends, we're talking about, man, this guy really stepped up, I think it's Kelly Oubre. I think game by game, there could be big Lowry moments. Batum, I think, is going to be a better fit with Embiid now that Embiid's back. And look, even Buddy is somebody that could, you know, have three threes in a quarter that wins in the game. So I think they have more role players that are capable of having big moments. But over a prolonged stretch, I think Oubre has the best chance of being the guy that steps up. He's not afraid to take big shots. Now, he doesn't always make these three-point shots he takes, but for a team that I've watched in the postseason look hesitant and scared at times, Oubre, I believe, has a confidence to get into these games, thanks a willingness to take the big shot and, like, looking forward to it. So I think that's a positive. But I also...
Yeah, wrong answer. Tobias is the guy.
No, it's not Tobias.
Yeah, it's
Tobias. I would love to hear the argument for Tobias. He's had, what, five chances to be that guy, and he's never been it. So,
well, how many times has Oubre proved that he was that guy in the playoffs?
But he has not been on the team and come up small repeatedly like Tobias has.
But you would agree Tobias has the playoff experience?
He does have the playoff experience. Okay. I agree. Yes. But if you told me who do I have confidence in being the third star going into the postseason, I have no confidence.
Okay, well, I know that. That's most of the city. That's why I wouldn't ask you who you have more confidence in. Right. I expect you to say someone other than Tobias. That was you walking into an answer I wanted you to say so I could just tell you you're wrong.
Okay.
It's going to be Tobias.
Well, why is it going to be Tobias?
Because he's the third most experienced guy. Third most experienced guy on the team outside of Lowry and Joel Embiid.
Yeah, Lowry.
And yeah, in Joel Embiid, so he's the third most experienced guy, and he's probably going to get the third most shots.
So that's why I think, and you know, tonight I think is going to be a really good indication of how this thing will look, because tonight is A, basically a playoff game, and B, they're fully healthy. I will be curious to see how they use Tobias. I'm assuming he is going to start every game. I'd be very surprised.
Of course he is.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if he didn't start. But I do wonder if he will get those end of game minutes. Like, if the game is close with 8 minutes to go, he's definitely on the court. I'm not so sure. I used to, midway through the season, I would have thought so. But he's been really bad recently. He's a free agent. I don't know if they have that same loyalty to him that they used to. So I'm not as sure as you are that he'll end the postseason third as top. I think there's a chance there's players ahead of him.
Well, I mean, I know he should. I'm just saying I think he should. Now, obviously, if he doesn't play well, they can always have a change of course and action and what they want to do. But he has the experience. He's almost a 17-point game playoff guy in the playoffs. That's nothing to sneeze at. As defenses tighten up, as rotations tighten up, half-court offense becomes more and more important. It's a lot easier to score in free will when you're in the regular season and people aren't necessarily gearing towards stopping you and it's just open-court basketball. Playoff basketball is a little different. So you're going to need somebody that can get their own shot in that half-court.
No, I think that's a good point. Tobias is probably their third best half court scorer. I mean, Lowry, just because he's a veteran, you can make an argument, but I think Tobias is a better half court scorer than Oubre is. I just think Oubre, A, he fits better with this team. He moves on offense. He makes the cuts. He's better on defense. He's a more willing 3-point shooter. So I feel like, while you are right, Tobias If it's an ISO situation, he's probably more likely to get a bucket. I think Oubre is going to be more involved with
fun times.
Oh, the Tobias. This Tobias playoff run is going to be awesome.
Oh, it's going to feed families.
We might only have three more games at Tobias. You have no idea what this thing's
going to
go. Got to get the debate in when you can.
All right, Elliot. We're less than 2 weeks now from the draft. Where do you kind of sit now? What's your gut telling you on what you think Howie Roseman's going to do, you know, this time 2 weeks from now?
I think if Howie had his wishes, he would end the first night with an offensive lineman.
Gosh. Why? Why?
What? All right. Look, last year I was with you on the no offensive lineman. You're wrong this time about
the offensive wrong. Line. I'm not wrong. Does Jeff Allen suck at his job apparently now?
But I think there's this myth that the offensive line is made up of all undrafted players. Lane was a first-round
pick. He's the only first-round pick.
Yeah, but
Cam was a second-round pick. Dickerson was a second-round pick. Those are high draft picks.
Sure.
Not as high as a first-round
pick. Tyler Steen was a second-round pick.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, they've had one first-round draft pick that's worked on the offensive line since Trey Thomas.
Yeah, how many have they taken? They've taken Lane and Danny Watkins.
Dillard.
Right? Dillard's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, all I'm saying is that they don't necessarily need to spend. We all think they love to take offensive linemen early in the draft or in the first round. Well, I mean, they might, but they haven't had as much success taking offensive linemen in the first round is the point that I'm making.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. I think in this draft at 22, and we'll see how the board falls. I do think for the Eagles, it is a good draft to be picking late because it looks like a lot of quarterbacks and receivers are going to go early. So they could get to that ninth pick, and it could, you know, legitimately only be quarterbacks and receivers and maybe Joe Alt to tackle out of Notre Dame. So I think players they want at positions they need will fall. But at 22, if you can get a guard that can come in right away, start, and play at a high level, that helps the team. It helps the team more than any other position they would draft. Point blank period. Their offensive line has a gaping hole at right guard and potentially
it's not a gaping hole.
And we're not saying that they can't necessarily find help through the draft for the offensive line, particularly at the guard spot. We're saying for that position, you don't need to spend a first round draft pick on a guy. You just re-signed your left side of your offensive line. They're going to be here. Your center is about to make his first year as a starter, and it's just his third year. And then your right tackle, who has Hall of Fame potential or likelihood, isn't going anywhere anytime soon. I just don't understand where there's this dire need to take a lineman when there are so many needs on defense. Like, there are so many needs on defense that you can find a guard. It's harder to find a pass rusher that's an effective pass rusher, a corner that's a very good corner versus somebody you hope can be a good player at that position. A guard is easier to find in the draft. You don't need to spend a first-round pick on a lineman, a guard. And if you take a tackle, you're getting – I heard the guys talking about this earlier on the midday show – what, at 22, you're going to get the 7th or 8th best offensive tackle in the draft? So you'd rather have the 7th or 8th best player at that position versus having, I don't know, the 3rd best defensive end, 4th best defensive end, 2nd or 3rd best corner in the draft? You'd rather have the 8th, 7th or 8th best lineman?
Yes. I mean, but again, I think that it's the way you're phrasing it. The 7th or 8th best lineman could be better than the 2nd best corner.
Could be. Right. Could be.
So when they're sitting there at 22, so let's just talk about the corner. Okay. So Kool-Aid McKinstry. I like Kool-Aid McKinstry. He is coming off a foot injury. He's not viewed as super athletic, but I like him. I would be okay with that pick at 22. Mm-hmm. Nate Wiggins. He's probably my favorite corner in the draft. He's undersized, but he plays a lot of man coverage. I would be into that pick. But I don't think either of those guys are special enough prospects where I can get an offensive guard that has the potential to play tackle that I know. So, like, your point is correct that you can find guard play throughout the draft. And, frankly, in free agency, like, Matt Hennessy might be able to play an effective right guard.
How about Cooper DeJean?
Oh, I'm out on him. I'm out. I have no interest in Cooper.
Oh,
I would
not
draft
him. No, you're not a football guy.
You don't want gritty, hard-nosed,
any
knows how to play the game?
Any football guy loves Cooper DeJean, man.
No,
come on.
I disagree with that. I disagree with that. I, if I'm
Baldy
corner,
told us the other day he was a stud. I don't know the problem here.
Well, I disagree with Baldy. If I think if you're taking a corner at 22 or in the first round, he has got to be able to play man coverage. He, of all the top corners...
You want Cooley McKinstry compared to James Bradberry. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, first of all, James Bradberry's had an all-pro career. Right now...
James Bradberry had one all-pro season.
Surrounded by nine other Pro Bowlers.
In 2016, he was good,
If they get a player at 22 as good as James Bradberry for his career, then that's been a great pick. So you are right, now James Bradberry is not as good. But obviously throughout his career, he's been a great player. But back to Cooper. Yes. If I'm drafting somebody, I have to know he can play man coverage. He did not do it a lot in Iowa. He did it less than anybody else. So you're projecting there. If you want to talk about taking him at 50 or 53, sure, because he is a great athlete. He can do a bunch of different things. But with Cooper, I don't see one position where I know he can be great at it. And if I'm taking somebody in the first round, you have to be great at one thing. And I don't think he's great at one thing.
That'd be great. You're talking about taking a damn guard at 22. Yeah, how many great guards
guard
come that
late
in the draft? I don't care how good he is. I don't care how he's the best guard in the draft. That don't mean he's going to be great.
Well, I think the guards that will be available at 22 are better prospects at their position than Cooper is at his position. And while now it's easy to look past right guards, when we get to week three or four and Jalen's running for his life and they can't run the ball with Saquon because the right side of the line is bad, then it's going to matter. So I'm normally with you on the offensive line early, but in this team with this draft, I think it's the right move.
Defense, Elliot, say it with me. Defense.
Start the chance.
Start drafting defensive players. We don't have, no, not enough. Not for the future.
Well, they don't have enough offensive linemen either.
They got plenty of
offensive. They got plenty of O-line.
Would you stop?
They don't have plenty of
O-line. Is defensive tackle on the table for you at 22? I know you're all offensive lined up. What about the other trenches? Is defensive tackle on the table for you?
I would take defensive tackle before I would go cornerback as well. I think there's better prospects there. There's a defensive tackle out of Texas that's viewed as an elite pass rushing prospect. He can play in a 3-4. He's extremely strong. He gets after the quarterback. Put him next to Jalen Carter, and everyone's life on the line becomes easier. I like Johnny Duke out of Illinois. I don't like him as much as Brian Murphy, but I do like him, and he is a pass-rushing defensive tackle. We talk so much about the Kelsey replacement. Where's the Fletcher replacement? Like, who do they have?
Jalen Carter.
Yeah, Jalen Carter, but you need someone else. You can't. He's just going to get double-teamed every game if they don't have anybody next to him, and he's going to be ineffective. So I would take a pass-rushing defensive tackle at 22. Before I would take a corner, assuming those two prospects are there. Outside of those two, there's none worthy of that pick. But at 22, if they're on the board, I would take them over the corner.
So we're going to take a defensive tackle for three straight years with our first pick.
Yeah.
Damn.
But
awesome.
What's the problem with that?
They spent
three straight picks on receivers, and now they have one of the best receiving duos in the NFL.
So not in the first round.
Because they also failed at those two. Two of those picks sucked.
Well, they traded one for AJ, which I know is a little, you know.
You said they drafted three.
No, I said they used three first-round picks.
Would you stop changing everything around?
Okay, I got you.
Don't use your little tricks on me. I'm up on you, Shore Parks.
Well, not really. You were confused there for a few minutes, so I don't think you were that up on.
Are you yelling in the street right now? Are you? Did you figure it out at your house? No.
So I actually just cut the grass. So I'm back in the house.
Oh, I thought you lived in the city.
Yeah, dude. What'd you cut?
Yeah,
quarter
grass. Yeah.
Well, look, I didn't need the $18,000.
You cut the grass. Did you cut it with scissors? I mean, there's no way you have a yard.
Come on. The more you talk, the less it's clear you know about the city. There are houses in the city with yards. I know you lived here for 4 months.
I have a yard. I live in technically a city in the borough.
Yeah, your yard is bigger than my yard, but my yard is
that's right.
Cut.
Trust me. That's right. Mine is bigger than yours. Yep.
Yeah. Nah.
Okay.
What was your reaction to the Devontae Smith extension stuff that came out the last couple of days?
I was not surprised. I believe Devontae is going to get an extension this offseason. I think that I don't want to say panic, but maybe worry.
Well, Jack is panicking. Yes.
Yeah.
Someone's got to raise the alarms here.
Well, there's no rush, number one. And number two, it's just a more complicated deal. Landon's deal was very clear. Top of the market, 1 year left on his contract. That was an easy contract to do.
Yep.
Devontae, not only does he have 2 years left if they exercise that fifth-year option, but it's also not really clear where Devontae should be. I mean, I believe he has number one receiver potential and skill, but I don't know. If you compare him to what Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase might get, I think there's an argument for those guys getting more money than Devontae. So I think it's a little more complicated.
Really? There's an argument for that?
Yeah, I think there is. And that's why I think it's a more complicated deal. But I also think from Devontae's perspective, he should ask for what those guys are asking for. He's been, you know, a great player for 3 years. He's young, although he's not been the number one guy. I think he has number one skill. If he went to other teams would probably happily pay him close to.
And that's going to be his bargaining chip right there.
Right.
Yep.
You know, so
it's smart on his part. I said it, Ellie. I said if the Eagles aren't offering him number one wide receiver money, I mean, it may be Devontae that's just saying it's not even worth it for me to sign right now.
I agree with that. And, you know, the other aspect of it is, while I haven't been around Devontae for 3 years, the teams he loves being here in Philadelphia, I don't think he's trying to get out.
Sure.
There is an argument for going somewhere and being the number one legit guy, right?
Yes. I mean,
so there's that argument. But why I think a deal will get done is because, A, the Eagles really want it to get done. They don't want Devontae to go anywhere. He's a homegrown guy. You know, we talk so much about culture this offseason. I think him being a homegrown culture guy is really important. And two, while Devontae can, you know, think he'll go there or wait for this, if you have $50 million guaranteed sitting in front of you, I don't know how you turn that down. So that's why I believe ultimately a deal will get done.
Final thing, Elliot, surprised the Eagles are favorites over the Packers?
Yeah, I am surprised by that. I mean, the Packers, obviously, I think, going into the season, the Packers are going to be viewed as a better team than the Eagles. I don't think that might not be correct.
I don't know about that.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I guess the odds tell you no, because the Eagles aren't favored. But, I mean, with how the Packers ended last season versus how the Eagles ended last season,
right,
I think the Packers are going to be discussed like the Lions were last year, where going into the year, everybody, you know, it was the team. They'll be the team everyone goes, no one's talking about them, but I like the Packers, even though everybody's talking about them. So I think they will be talked about at a higher level than the Eagles, but I think they're mostly even. So, I you know, and the 1.5-point spread kind of reflects that.
All right, Elliot, I'll see you a little bit later. As we
that's right. You got a watch party.
A little watch party for Sixers. Sixers
Why don't
you
promote that for 10 minutes?
Well, Philly's Pirates as well. Big night down here at Wells Fargo Center. So you can check out.
It's a
City Connect night. Yep. So you can see where Elliot and I will be on our social medias. On the other side, though, Elliot
appreciates.
I don't know. You did lose your hat. On the other side, the man who was throwing out the first pitch tonight down at Citizens Bank Park is also the guy who threw the first pitch at Citizens Bank Park 20 years ago today. Randy Wolf is here at the Chickies and Pete's. He'll join the show. Looking forward to talking to Randy and about the Phillies and everything else. So Randy Wolf coming up next here on the Afternoon Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.